From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 83, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker. What a show we have for you today. We're going to talk with former Major League slugger Dave Parker. That's right, the Cobra joins Inside the Parker. Also, we'll talk with reporter David Grubb from MLBBro.com. That and much more. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
April 15th is Jackie Robinson Day all across Major League Baseball as we honor the great Jackie Robinson, who, of course, in 1947 broke the color barrier and for his heroic stance and able to endure all that he went through. Baseball recognizes him. All players, managers, coaches, umpires, on-field personnel will once again wear the iconic number 42 on games this year on April 15th and 16th, which is great. So we get a double dip of Jackie Robinson Day, that famed number 42. And all we can do is thank Jackie Robinson for what he meant to not only baseball, but this country. Jackie Robinson is an American icon, an American hero, a brave man who was more than a ball player. He was a game changer. He changed life, especially for black and brown people in this country. And we are forever indebted to Jackie Robinson.
Number two.
Say it isn't so. Fernando Tatis Jr. could be in the lineup for the San Diego Padres on Friday when they host the Dodgers with a showdown of a big three-game series down at Petco. You know, hey, we all want to see him play. There's no doubt about it. By far, Tatis is one of the most exciting players in baseball. But I thought the shoulder popped out, and I thought that there was some damage there, and it might be 2 or 3 months before we see him. But there he was on Tuesday in Pittsburgh taking BP. And Bob Nightingale from USA Today tweeted out that he's expected to play on Friday against the Dodgers. I just wonder if they were playing the Colorado Rockies or the Cleveland Indians or the Detroit Tigers, would he be playing this weekend? I don't think so, but it's a big series. This is unbelievable that he's back this soon. I hope he doesn't do more damage to himself. So we'll watch for that. Any chance to see Tatis is worth the view.
Number three.
No shocker for me. Before the season started, I said that Trevor Bauer would win the National League Cy Young again. He won it last year with the Reds during the 60-game COVID-shortened season. But I thought to myself, this L.A. guy playing for his hometown team that's loaded with hitters up and down the lineup. You know, he's the highest paid player in baseball this season, making $40 million. But boy, has he been outstanding thus far. 2-0 record. The numbers have been downright scary. 29 strikeouts and 20 innings pitched this season. Ready for this? Opponents are batting a paltry 103 against Bauer. Again, what a signing by the Dodgers. And he has been, as advertised, he is my leading candidate for National League Cy Young Award winner.
Number four.
And finally, I guess the Boston Red Sox aren't dead. Don't you remember the panic when they started out 0-3? It was like the sky is falling. Uh-oh, here comes another long season for the Red Sox. People were calling them the Dead Sox. Guess what? On Wednesday, They won their eighth game in a row. The Red Sox are rolling.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, let's welcome into the podcast now one of my favorite former major leaguers, Dave Parker, who was a out-and-out star with the Pittsburgh Pirates. He has a new book coming out called Cobra, A Life of Baseball and Brotherhood. Dave Parker, welcome to Inside the Parker. How you doing, my man?
Doing well, and you?
Doing very, very well. Tell us about, let's just jump in, about the book and what made you want to write this.
Well, I've been trying to write it for about 30 years. When I entered some prominency playing baseball, I thought it would have been a good time to write it then. But I held off on it, and it took me about 30 years to finally get it out.
And here it is. What do you take people on your whole journey through baseball and the brotherhood part? Is that, you know, your friendships and bonds you made with other players during the time you played?
That and players I didn't actually spend a lot of time with. All the young stars like Eric Davis, Barry Larkin, Cal Daniels, Paul O'Neill. These guys were guys that I mentored. And I enjoyed those relationships and benefited us both.
You played 10 seasons in Pittsburgh. That's where you broke in. That was an interesting team to me, that old Pirates team, because there was nothing but black and brown players on that team, and you guys were bad boys. And I mean, in a good way. Tell me about that experience playing for the Pirates from 73 to 83.
Well, it was a great experience, you know, and you played with guys that of color, for one, and you played with guys that threw everything on the field, including the kitchen sink. They were players that wouldn't be denied, and they loved their teammates. That's why the title is what it is, and it was just a thrill to play with them.
You also played in Cincinnati for the Reds from 84 to 87. Cincinnati is a great baseball town. What was playing in Cincinnati like?
It was good because I was playing at home. I was raised in Cincinnati, so it gave me an opportunity to play in front of my mother and father and made the transition really easy. You know, going playing for your hometown team, like every little boy wanted to do that, and I was no different. It was a thrill. I should have won the MVP in 85, so playing in Cincinnati was equally as nice.
And you did win two World Series, 1979. That's the We Are Family Pirates. I want you to talk about that. And then 1989, that was with the Oakland A's. That We Are Family team, how special was that 1979 Pirates team to you?
It was a team that wouldn't be denied. These guys, we'll be out of first place by 12, 14 games and somehow work our way back and end up being in the playoffs and getting ready for a series. So it was a thrill playing with that 79 team. But they weren't the best team I played for, but they were the closest team. And I always loved and respected the Pirates.
Our guest is former outfielder and DH, Dave Parker, who career batting average of .290, 339 RBIs, almost 1,500 RBIs. I mean, a very solid career, a great career, seven-time All-Star. What about your magical moment? Did you have one? I can remember a few things, like in All-Star games, you had a great arm. You could play defense. You could hit for power, hit for average. What was your magical moment in your career, Dave?
I think throwing the All-Star game. I mean, that was a play where you had to get the ball home plate. You couldn't bounce it. You had to nailing to keep the game in the National League's ballpark. So that throw is probably the thing that I hold as one of my best plays.
No, it was iconic. Most people remember it. If you haven't seen it, you need to go to YouTube and take a look at that moment. Again, the new book is called Cobra, A Life of Baseball and Brotherhood by the great Dave Parker. Dave, where can people pick up your book?
You can pick it up at Dave Parker 39 Foundation, Amazon, Walmart, Barnes & Noble.
There he is, Dave Parker, man, my namesake. Rob Parker talking to Dave Parker on Inside the Parker. Pick up his new book, Cobra, A Life of Baseball and Brotherhood. Dave, stay well. I appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
If you're trying to get in the analytical side of baseball and get a little overwhelmed, don't worry, you're not alone. There are mountains of data out there, and it's hard to know where to begin. Today, I will try to help you out. You may have seen StatCast data often cited on broadcast because MLB put all their analytical eggs in the StatCast basket back in 2015. Baseball Savant is MLB's publicly available StatCast website, and their game feed is every piece of data you'll ever need. Here's a quick primer. Each pitch thrown gives the pitch velocity, spin rate, where the higher the revolutions per minute, the more the pitch generally moves, as well as the pitcher's extension, how much closer the plate from the mound the pitcher releases the pitch. The higher the extension, the faster the pitch may appear. If a ball is put in play, a whole mess of data is at your disposal. First, you get the exit velocity, how hard the ball was hit, the launch angle, and the hit probability, which, this is fun, takes into account how hard the ball was hit, how high off the ground it was, how far the ball was hit, the ballpark, the position of the fielders, and the probability of similar balls hit with those numbers in the StatCast database to spit out, within seconds, how often that batted ball would be a base hit. Now, for example, in Sunday's Twins-Mariners tilt, Kyle Seager hit a pitch from Twins closer Alex Colome at 105.4 miles per hour off the bat. But the launch angle of 38 degrees was so high, the hit probability was only 57%, and yet the ball carried out to right center for a game-winning three-run homer as the ball stayed in the air for a whopping 6.4 seconds, one of the longest hang times for any dinger this year. Now, a curious mind is your best friend when it comes to befriending analytics.
And what that ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, from MLBBro.com, here's J.R. Gamble.
All right, J.R., is it foul or fair to say that Trevor Bauer is shutting up the haters and is as advertised and will keep this up all season long?
That's fair.
It's a fair ball.
Bauer takes a lot of heat for his opinionated nature. In fact, a lot of doubt that fans expressed about the Dodgers giving him the three-year, $102 million deal had to do with backlash he received for what he says on social media. On the field, his elite pitching can't be ignored or contested. When Bauer gave up four runs in six innings and two bombs in his first start, the haters and naysayers who, one, don't want the Dodgers to go back-to-back, two, don't want to see Bauer succeed, were all over him, already saying he wouldn't live up to his deal. What has the 2020 Cy Young Award winner done since? Well, he's 2-0, and in his last 13 and two-thirds innings, he's given up two runs, struck out 19 batters. And this is just in the last 7 days. So I say Bauer's moving and proving. Let's not forget the bombs by Mookie and Chris Taylor and Corey Seager to back him up. And the list goes on and on for the Dodgers, who have more talent than the Jackson 5. He wasn't getting that kind of backup in Cincy, so I say Bauer is in the driver's seat. And he's pumping his fist and getting ready for a World Series run as an ace. MLB investigations and haters be damned. Bauer's going to get his.
Turn money into more money.
Now it's time for Betting on the Bases with Dave Gascon.
Love that money.
Love that money.
Rob, looking back to last week's games, we picked three of them. Two were actually played, one did not. Angels and Blue Jays pushed back because of weather. A makeup date has been set. As far as the Rays go, they hammer the Yankees 10-5, so we dropped that one. Houston did not look good against Oakland, but nevertheless, they did take game one of their series, so that was our lone victory. So one up, one down, and one rained out. We look forward to this weekend's festivities. Starting off on Thursday, Arizona and Washington, Patrick Corbin did not survive at least five innings worth of work against the Dodgers in his previous start. I'm pounding the over in that one. Friday, Minnesota's in Anaheim against the Angels. It doesn't matter who's in the lineup right now for the Halos. They got Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. I'm also looking for the over in that one as well. Keep an eye on Nelson Cruz as well in that affair. Sunday, Hyunjin Ryu at Kansas City against the Royals, Blue Jays, and Royals. He gets run support, does Ryu, and in fact, on top of that, he's made the transition nicely from the National League to the American League. I'm taking Toronto straight up.
Take out the papers in the trash!
Yeah!
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week's trasher is at The Smack on Twitter, and John writes this. Are you freaking kidding me? Losing a series to the Blue Jays in a minor league ballpark to go under 500 in the young season? Where do I start? The part-time superstars, Stanton and Judge, the pathetic pitching staff that has been reduced to Garrett Cole and pray for rain? Question for you, Rob. Name a Yankee leading the AL in any offense or pitching category. Bottom line, Aaron bleeping Boone. Win games. If you want to be on the podcast, send me your trash to my Twitter at RobParkerFS1, and the best one will make Inside the Parker.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto. If I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast David Grubb. He's a content reporter for MLBBro.com, which just debuted April 1st on opening day. David, welcome to the podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So glad to talk to you again. And just the general excitement about where we are with MLBBro.com and what's to come.
Yes. And I want you to explain to people, for we put our cards on the table. Some people do know that I created it. I'm the founder and editor of MLBBro.com, where we cover black and brown major leaguers. But you tell me your thoughts joining the site and what's been, what do you like so far about working for the site?
It's interesting because, with tomorrow being Jackie Robinson Day, the piece that I'm doing for that has some of those thoughts in it. And when we first talked about this in New Orleans, when you first talked to me about it, and obviously you had been planning this for a while, it immediately resonated with me because of my love for the game of baseball and the fact that there have been so many of us who wanted to either talk about the game, write about the game, be involved in it, and promote the game and bring it back to this part of how much it's been a major factor in the lives of black people in this country, how much we've invested in the sport of baseball. And I just think that we have an opportunity to bring some of that fun back, to put some highlights on this new crop of young ball players and the ones that are already established, and then shine lights on players that, this generation and our generation may even, just have taken for granted. So, it's a great educational opportunity on the one hand, but at the same time, it's a game, and we want people to enjoy it and love it, and I think that's what I'm taking from it.
No doubt. And let's just talk about some of the players that are covered on MLBBro.com. And Byron Buxton is having maybe this might be his breakout year, 27 years old, finally healthy. Talk about the Minnesota Twins center fielder.
It's so big for him, like you said, to be healthy. Over the last couple of seasons, there aren't many teams that have done as well as the Twins, and Byron Buxton should have been in the middle of all of that, but he missed so many games. And you think about even last year missing that game with the Astros that cost Minnesota so much, a team that just hasn't been able to get over that hump in the postseason. If he can play all year, and then you don't expect him to hit 469 for the year, but when you see the things that have changed for him, you see that he's taking more walks, that you can see that he's, he's turning kind of like into a Vladimir Guerrero type, where he may swing at pitches that are outside the zone, but he's making contact. So he's developing an eye to make contact. He doesn't swing and miss. He's not doing those things at the plate that'll hinder you. And then when he makes contact, he's crushing the ball. I mean, his exit velocities are always top 2-3 every night. So, I mean, that consistency, if it carries over, it's so connected to his health. But right now, you'd have to say he's playing as the best, if not the best, the top 2 or 3 position players all of baseball.
No doubt about it. He is balling out. Another guy who's having a great season, and if you go back to last year, Cedric Mullins with the Baltimore Orioles, their center fielder, he has a 15-game hitting streak going into Wednesday. Tell us about Cedric.
You know, you look at Cedric, and people forget that coming into the season, I don't think he had even touched 400 at bats yet in the big leagues. So, I mean, it's going to take some time, and you're talking about a leadoff guy who has now grown into that role. And being a leadoff batter is so important, taking those pitches, reading that offense and setting your team up for putting runners on base. And that's what he's done. You talk about a guy, he's second in all of baseball in batting average right now. He's getting on base. He's stealing bases at a higher rate than he ever has before. His home run rate is up. Even though he's only hit one so far this season, just in the at-bats. And then he's getting more walks. He's being more selective with his pitches. So we saw from his first year, from 235, and then he played, his next, second most at bats last year in 2020, his average jumps to 270. And now, again, you don't expect it to hang in the mid-400s all year, but you're seeing that development, that growth, that consistency, especially in knowing the strike zone and allowing himself to work pitchers rather than vice versa.
Our guest is David Grubb from MLBBro.com. If you want to check out the site, MLBBro.com. Let's just finish up here on Jackie Robinson Day, which is Jackie Day is going to be celebrated both this time, tomorrow on the 15th, and on Friday the 16th. So it's actually an extra day. And just talk about your thoughts and what Jackie Robinson means to you. And we know what he means to baseball in this country, but just personally, what do you think of when you think of Jackie Robinson?
He's the most important athlete in American history. The precursor to the modern civil rights movement. You look at Jackie Robinson and we start to focus on him at baseball, but you go through that life story of what he endured at UCLA, what he endured in the military, that baseball wasn't his best sport, and yet that's what he made his mark in. And, honestly, for all that he gave us, there's also the tragedy of Jackie Robinson. And you think about those last years of his life and him never getting those opportunities to be an executive in the game, to see his dream of seeing a manager on the big league level come to fruition, and that for only there to be two now. There's been so much progress, and I love things like the Players Coalition, Players Alliance, and what they're doing and picking up that mantle. And I think that's what we have to remember when we do this. It's not just to remember Jackie, but it's the way to honor him. The same way we have to remember that when we talk about Dr. King. It's not supposed to just be about service. It's supposed to be about moving forward. And that's what Jackie wanted, was progress. And so when we look at those young men and we look at a Byron Buxton out there going through this alone in that locker room in Minnesota, where over the last 2 years it's been so difficult, to give him that support, to give these players, to let them know that, hey, we're with you, we're watching you, we want you to do well. And that's what, to me, Jackie Robinson Day is a great reminder of his spirit, his willingness to go out there alone. And then, of course, Larry Doby, not soon after, but just their example as men, and not martyr them, but understand what they went through, the triumph and the tragedy, and then just go on and try to keep honoring them by building on it.
His name is David Grubb, a content reporter for MLBBro.com, and for sure, There'll be plenty of stuff on the website about Jackie Robinson tomorrow. David, thanks for joining the website.
Rob, thank you so much for letting me join the website.
Now it's time for some Diamond Dust with Wish TV's Phil Sanchez.
Out of here!
He played baseball in college. Now hear his MLB knowledge.
Well, over the weekend, it was announced that Alex Rodriguez would become the new future co-owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves. This after failing to buy the New York Mets over the winter. So a lot to unpack here. Number one, does A-Rod know anything about basketball? And number two, seriously, does A-Rod know anything about basketball? Like it or not, I guess we're going to find out. But here's what we do know. The Timberwolves rookie sensation, Anthony Edwards, you know him. He's having a really good season this year. He has no clue who A-Rod is. When asked about the deal, Edwards said, quote, I know he's going to be a good owner, but I don't know anything about baseball. Now, keep in mind, Edwards, only 19 years old, born in 2001, grew up in the Atlanta area, not in New York or Texas, where A-Rod played most of his career, even Seattle. I would bet that Edwards knows a thing or two about maybe Chipper Jones or those sensational Braves teams over the years when he was growing up. A-Rod laughed it off to his credit and introduced himself via Instagram. But I would bet dollars to donuts that Anthony Edwards probably knows who Derek Jeter is. And if you watch baseball over the past 20 years, you know that probably would get under the skin of one Alex Rodriguez.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA. And it isn't even close.
Reason number 400 why baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL. Recently, you saw it in the stands at a game in Philadelphia. A young fan with his dad, you know, missed a ball, home run ball, that hit him right in the glove. It fell into the bullpen. The relievers down there were nice enough to toss it back up to him. He missed it again. The ball of this time fell back down. They threw it up one more time. He finally got it. And here's the best part of all. He could have just kept the ball and enjoyed the moment. And you know what he did? He sought out a even younger fan, a little boy, and tossed him the baseball. Those are the moments you can share at a baseball game that you can't do anywhere. Nobody's tossing around a basketball in the crowd to fans. No one's tossing around a football to fans in the crowd, but you get that at baseball. And that's a special moment when you get your first ball at a ball game. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.